It's great to have you with us today. Whether you are joining live or later, we'd love to welcome you and to support you in prayer and in practical ways. And so if you're not normally part of the Silver Street Church family, please do get in touch. You can even do it now, luke@silverstreetchurch.org.uk. If you're not a follower of Jesus, but you would love to explore more, we've got a three-session course starting soon via Zoom as a sort of introduction to the message and the claims of Jesus, and an opportunity for you to ask any question that you might have. You'll be in a small group of people in a similar position to you, discovering some of these things, asking questions about Jesus and his claims. Of course, it's free, it's low key, it's low pressure, and we can be flexible for times and dates that suit you. Maybe you've never had the opportunity or the time, the space to explore the claims of Jesus before. Well, now is your opportunity. Please do contact me, luke@silverstreetchurch.org.uk.
Our reading for today comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Let us read. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this time as we gather together in your name to hear your word and to praise your name. We do thank you for the glorious inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, having been sprinkled with his blood. Father, we thank you that you, O God, have given us a glorious, inexpressible joy even through these difficult times. And we want to bless you that even as we gather to hear your word, we will continue to experience this and have faith and greater faith in you. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word and the preaching of your word. Prepare our hearts and let us give you all our hearts and all our attention as we listen to the preaching of your word. Father, we bless you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hashtag stay at home. That's the message that has been dominating our lives over the last few weeks. Hashtag stay at home. We've seen it everywhere, on the side of buses, on TV adverts, on the front of that podium thing, the yellow podium thing, all of those government briefings. Every time a celebrity posts anything online, it's always that same message, hashtag stay at home. And the government has been working really hard to keep that message in front of us, to make sure it's always coming in our eyes and in our ears, because it's really important for that message to deeply affect the way that we live now. It's really important that this message stays on repeat so that it shapes the way that we live. It defines the way we live in this moment. If we're Christians, there's another hashtag that should dominate our lives in a similar way. It's this, hashtag not at home. Not at home. Just like our Lord Jesus did, we need to live lives defined by the reality that in this world, we are hashtag not at home. It's weirdly easy to forget that. But if we're going to live now as we should, this is a message that we always need to keep in the forefront of our minds. And that's what Peter wants to do in the first verse of his letter. As clearly as he can, he's going to remind us of who we are. He's going to drill down with this message, hashtag not at home. Last week, we heard who this letter is from. We heard it's from Peter, an ordinary man who had been with Jesus and was given authority by Jesus to speak the words of Jesus. That's what it means to be an apostle. Today, we're going to look at who this letter is addressed to. So have a look at verse 1. To God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This is who the letter is to. To God's elect, exiles who are scattered. Notice he's not just addressing them, he's describing them. He could have said anything there. He could have just written to the Christians in all of those places, but he picks these words. These words are packed with meaning and he carefully chooses them because he wants his readers to know who they are. He's teaching them their identity, an identity which must define the way that they live right now. God's elect, exiles, scattered. Now, as we said last week, we must remember that we are reading someone else's mail. This is a real letter addressed to real people in the first century. But these three things actually describe all of God's people, all Christians at all times, including us. So Peter today is going to teach us who we are. God's elect. We're actually going to put that one on a shelf and come back to that next week. But let's spend the rest of today considering these other two words, scattered, exiles. Scattered. That's the word from which we get our word, diaspora. It's describing a people who find themselves in different places. So, for example, the Turkish diaspora are those who are Turkish people, but they are hashtag not at home. They're living in Germany or North London or various other places across the world. One people, but in different places. At the time that Peter was writing, this phrase was commonly used for the Jewish people who had been dispersed among the nations, either by force at the time of the exile, or afterwards out of choice, perhaps for economic reasons. They had a common identity as Jews, but they were hashtag not at home. They were away from Jerusalem, away from their homeland. They were scattered. And now Peter applies that same loaded term to Christians, Jews and Gentiles. Do you see what he's saying? Do you see what he's doing? He's saying to them, you guys, Christians, are the new people of God, scattered and spread through the nations. He's uniting them in their shared identity, an identity which is not based on heritage or language or culture. Rather, we are united by faith in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and rose again in the place of sinners so that anyone and everyone who comes to him asking for forgiveness will be adopted into his family. And that is an identity which runs deep. In fact, it's our primary identity. It's the thing that unites us with God's people who otherwise have nothing in common to us. So Peter is writing to these Christians who live across this wide region, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those are Roman provinces in what is now Turkey. And the reason that he names them in that particular order is most probably because it's the travel route of the messenger. This was a circular letter. Chapter 5, verse 12 indicates that Silas was the messenger, someone who would take this letter in hand and travel throughout these regions, visiting all of the scattered Christians with the same letter, the same message for all of them, because even though they are from different backgrounds, they are living in different areas, perhaps they speak different languages, but they are united in their primary identity as Jesus people. Let me illustrate this using these balls from one of the kids' games. If I drop these balls, guess what? They scatter in all sorts of directions. But then after I've finished recording this message, I'm going to have to go and pick them all up and gather them together again in this pot, because actually they belong together. They might look different on the outside. They're different colours, but they are clearly of the same type. They belong together. And though they are right now scattered in the various corners of this room, they will be brought back together again. And so it is with God's people across the world. Even though we are separated by distance, we are united in identity and in experience. That's why Peter can say in chapter 5, verse 9, resist the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. This is why we should pray for the persecuted church. This is why we should invest in missions. We are family, one people in different places. We might look very different, but really we are of the same sort. We belong together. One day we will be gathered together, but for now we are scattered. Scattering is a big theme in the Bible. Often it's a sign of God's judgment, but that's not the case here. In fact, scattering is God's method to bring blessing to the whole world. Scattering is the mechanism by which good news spreads to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 8 tells us that when the first martyr, Stephen, was stoned to death, it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. This is how the good news of Jesus spreads. We've seen maps and graphs in recent days of how the coronavirus spreads through contact. Everyone who's infected then takes it wherever they go. So if they get on a plane, they're going to take it to the country in which the plane lands, and then they pass it on in contact with others who then in turn pass it on and take it to new places. And so very quickly in this way, it spreads to the far corners of the earth. Everyone who comes to faith in Jesus becomes a carrier of the name of Jesus for the fame of Jesus, wherever they go. Sometimes there are particular hot spots where lots of people become carriers, like in Ephesus, which we read about in the book of Acts, chapter 19, I think, where Paul stayed for 2 years preaching to people from across the region, who then in turn took that message to their own cities when they went back home. So sometimes the message kind of spreads from a hot spot, and other times it comes just through an individual, like, for example, Epaphras, who is one of those people who came and heard the message in Ephesus and then took that message, took that good news home to Colossae, where he set up a church to whom Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians. You see, this is God's purpose in scattering. This is God's purpose for you. And by the way, there are no asymptomatic carriers of the name of Jesus. If you have faith in Jesus, there will always be symptoms. There will be clear evidence that you've got Jesus in you. But we need to understand that this is God's sovereign purpose in scattering. When you feel isolated, when you feel hashtag not at home, perhaps you're the only Christian in your family or your workplace or your class, remember, you're not alone. You're part of this worldwide family which will one day be gathered, but for now you are scattered for a purpose: the fame of the name of Jesus. This is one of the big things that we miss by not being able to meet together physically. Sundays are so crucial because it's the time in the week where we gather all together before we then scatter and are sent on our mission. God's people are a scattered people, but we're also exiles. If you're familiar with the Bible story, then you'll know that the word exile has a lot of negative connotations. In fact, in the second last verse of the book, Peter refers to the church in Rome as she who is in Babylon. For the Old Testament people of God, the Babylonians are the ones who had destroyed Jerusalem and taken the people into exile. Sin always has consequences. Exile was God's fair and pre-warned judgment for repeated sinful rebellion. But when Peter calls Christians exiles, he's not talking about God's judgment. Rather, he's using this image to emphasize the fact that we are hashtag not at home. That word exile can equally mean stranger or sojourner or temporary resident. And that's the sense, that's what's in focus here. So he's not saying you're exiles in the sense that you are under God's judgment, but rather you're exiles in the sense that you are hashtag not at home. Just as the Old Testament people of God knew what it was like to be away from their spiritual home, living in a place where they didn't really fit in, so do we. In fact, many of you know what it's like to live in a foreign country. And if I asked you, where's home for you? You wouldn't say Edmonton. Your kind of initial reaction would be home is Congo or Zambia or Russia or United States or wherever it is. But actually, all of us need to be thinking in those sort of terms. Even if you were to go back to the place where you were born, even if you've lived in the same place all of your life, as Christians in this world, we are hashtag not at home. Heaven is our home. Look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. In chapter 5, it says, the God of all grace has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Heaven is our home. The place where God lives, that's where we belong. I mean, obviously, naturally, we don't belong there. We have no right to assume such an awesome privilege. But our Lord Jesus is the one who left the comforts of his heavenly home to make his home with us. And having lived perfectly among us, he then died for us to bring us home with him. I hope you've put your trust in Jesus. You must put your trust in Jesus. And when you do put your trust in Jesus, immediately you are given a new home which is beyond this world. Philippians 3 said, our citizenship is in heaven. God's home is now our home. Isn't that amazing? God's home is now our home. In heaven, we will belong. In heaven, we will rest. In heaven, we will be secure. In heaven, we'll be among family. Heaven is our home. My secondary citizenship is in the United Kingdom. My primary citizenship is in heaven. In this world, we are temporary residents. If the word scattered reminds us that we belong together, the word exile reminds us we don't belong here. Hashtag not at home. Now, to be told that you don't belong here, that's normally quite an unsettling thing. But I think this should give us great hope in times of crisis. Peter's first readers were under intense persecution, and so by calling them exiles, he's reminding them this is not all there is. When you're traveling, you can put up with discomfort and inconvenience because you know soon I'm going to be home. And for us, when we're feeling the brokenness of the world, like we are at the moment with the coronavirus, well, if this life is all there is, that's majorly disappointing. But what a blessing to know for sure that we are only temporary residents and that our heavenly home is vaccinated against all the effects of sin. We are hashtag not at home. There's all sorts of implications for that. We could spend a good time chewing over those implications. For example, it's a reminder for us not to get too comfortable. If this isn't our home, then we mustn't get too comfortable. How easy it is to forget that we are travellers passing through. And so we end up putting deep roots down into this world. I think, again, this coronavirus crisis is a very revealing thing. It kind of strips back the layers of our hearts. What is it, I wonder, that is causing us most anxiety, most stress? What are we missing the most or most upset about losing? Listen, a lot of those struggles are legitimate and they're real. That it's not a wrong thing to be struggling at this time. But is it possible that at least part of the reason that we're finding things so hard is because we've got our roots down too deep into the things of this world? And perhaps one of the kindnesses of the Lord, one of the things he's doing in his mercy, in his grace, is he's pulling some of those weeds up, and it hurts, but it's good for us. It would be a good use of our time, I think, during this lockdown to ask the Lord to reveal to us those areas where we are forgetting that we are hashtag not at home here. So there are all sorts of implications, like I say, worth chewing on. But the main thrust of what Peter's saying here when he calls Christians exiles is that he is encouraging them, commanding them, calling them to be different from the world. That becomes clear in chapter 2, when verse 11, he says this: "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us." Do you see the point? He says, because you are hashtag not at home in this world, you must not live like the world. When a family moves to a different country, often if they've been there a long time or they've been there several generations, over time they begin to take on more and more of the culture around them, and perhaps they leave behind some of the stuff from home. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, But as Christians, we must never do that. In fact, it's the opposite, because we used to belong to this world, but over time we must become more and more like citizens of heaven. We are hashtag not at home, which is why we so often feel out of place. As Christians, sometimes it feels like we're living in a different dimension from everyone else. We see the world so differently, our priorities are so different, and that can be quite disconcerting when we find ourselves in those scattered places, in our workplace, in our home, in our classes, and we feel alone, and we feel like we're the odd ones out, looking at things upside down. But we shouldn't be surprised about that. It's expected. We are hashtag not at home. While we live in this world, we are not of this world, and so we must be distinct from this world. When we forget that heaven is our home, that's when we begin to blend in and act like everyone else, just making the most of the here and now. Can I ask you, are you distinctively different from the world in your moral behavior? Praise God that as we come to the cross, there is forgiveness for all of our failures and all of the times that we haven't been distinctly different from the world. But we must pursue holiness. Are you distinctly different from the world in the way that you deal with pressure points and crises like the one that we're going through right now? Again, like I said, it's not a wrong thing to struggle. I'm sure we are all struggling in various ways. That's not necessarily a sinful thing. We see throughout the Bible that followers of God, and even our Lord Jesus himself, they wrestle with emotions and they wrestle with circumstances. But I wonder, at this time of crisis, do we look different from the world? We should. Do we have the same kind of panic, the same priorities, the same pressure points? Or does the way that we respond make it clear for everyone to see that we firmly believe that heaven is our home? Is it clear that that's the hashtag running through our mind, always in our ears and in our eyes, that we know we are hashtag not at home? This is the message that must define how we live now in the coronavirus and beyond. In this world, we are hashtag not at home. And so may we be able to say, like the writer of the Hebrews says, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that is to come." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, forgive our many sins. Forgive us for forgetting that this world is not our home. Tear up those roots that run too deep. Fix our eyes on that glorious heavenly city. Flood us with hope. And use us as scattered exiles for the spread of the fame of the name of Jesus. And we pray this for the glory of Jesus. Amen. In a moment, there's going to be some reflection questions to kind of chew on some of those things a little bit more. Remember to get in touch as well if you're interested in that course about finding more about Jesus. But right now, we're going to sing a song to fix our eyes on heaven.